Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. These words follow on the heels of a conversation our Lord has with a rich young man who has asked about how to get to heaven, and he assumes that he has kept God's law so well. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, I served a church in Florida, and there was a gentleman from my congregation who was a deacon that owned a landscaping company. And he told me that along the Gulf Coast of Florida, where the most wealthy properties were, he did a lot of his work. And there was one family that had contracted with him to make sure that a fountain on their property was running during the month of February. And that was it. That's all they needed. It was during the month of February, make sure that this fountain is running in front of this multi-million dollar home. The reason was that was the one month of the year they lived there. And it was one of four or five homes that they had around the United States. The wealth of our nation is absolutely astounding. When you think about the kind of riches that there are to be had here in the United States, it's estimated today that Bill Gates, during the time we're in chapel today, if I don't go too long, will make $35,000 just while we're sitting in chapel. Now, when you and I compare ourselves to the very richest people in our country, we don't feel very rich. And maybe we look at someone like Bill Gates who can make that kind of money and say, "Well, man, that's just not fair. That is just, there's something wrong with that. That is just not fair." Well, before we cry out that that's not fair, we need to understand something. Probably the last thing that any one of us would really want is to have the world's wealth distributed fairly. Because if that was the case, according to statistics, your family's average income would be about $7,000 a year. And trying to survive on that, you would be like probably, quoting the famous motivational speaker Chris Farley, living in a van down by the river. By the world's standards, by U.S. standards, we are really not rich, probably, most of us in here. By the world's standards, we're not rich either. No, by the world's standards, we're extremely rich. My household income, I live in a house worth about $125,000. My household income places me in the top 1% of the world's richest people. Just think of that. That means that roughly 99.4% of all the people living in the world right now have less money than I do. The poorest nation in our country, or in our world, the Republic of Congo, they estimate that the average family household income there is about $400 a year. That is less than the average that the average American adult spends on haircuts in a year. Imagine a 15-year-old boy who lives in a beautiful mansion, let's say in the outside the suburbs of Los Angeles, up in the Hollywood area. And imagine that he goes to school at his local public high school, and there are students there, some who come from even welfare families. And imagine him sitting at lunch one day complaining to the other teenagers at his table, who live in those homeless shelters, that he's bugged because yesterday he couldn't swim in the family pool because his sister had a birthday party. Well, that's what it sounds like when we Americans talk about the tough economic times that we're going through here in our country. Boy, it's really tough on us. Last week, I only got to go out to eat four times instead of six. The treasure that steals my heart away doesn't have to be very big. We can sometimes maybe comfort ourselves with the fact that what we want in life and what we hope to get and to gain in this life, we're really not asking so much from God as far as more things that we would want. And in terms of the wealth that we see in other people, it's just a small little fragment of that. But the wealth of Donald Trump, even if that's not my goal, the wealth of Donald Moldstead can become my God. Martin Luther said that when he was living in the monasteries, that many of the monks who had taken vows of poverty would sit around at the dinner table and take out their little leather pouches of money and pour it out on the table and count it and debate who had more money. Luther used to say, you can even take a penny and hold it up to your eye and it'll block out your view of heaven. It doesn't take much for us to lose our focus in life and to lose what's really important and what should matter to us in life. The camels that Jesus is talking about in our text, that's us. And there's some great dangers of living in a country that has so much wealth around it. First of all, we don't realize we're rich. We don't even get it. We don't see how wealthy we are. And along with that, we don't appreciate it. And we grumble and complain. And we even feel like we've been cheated somehow because other people still have more than we do. And we want more because there's so much good stuff around us. And the real danger is it causes us to take our focus off of our Savior and the heaven He came to prepare for us and to put it back in this dying world. The more heavenly our earthly life can become, the less heavenly-minded we will be. And Satan's great deception toward me as a Christian is this. Yeah, love Jesus, love Christ, love what he did for you, look forward to heaven, but on the way, think of all the other stuff you can get. Think how great you could have it. Think how much better your life in this world could be too. You can have both. And our Lord Jesus harshly warns us, you cannot serve two masters. In the text in front of us, the disciples observed this conversation with this rich young man with Jesus. And this guy was probably a pretty nice guy, and he thought he had lived a pretty decent life. And he now comes and talks to Jesus, well, how do I get to heaven? Well, Jesus knew that he still had this greed in his heart for his possessions, like all of us do. And so he asked him that difficult question. Would you be willing to give all of this up and follow me? And the disciples observe this, and then they say, well, who can be saved? Jesus gives that great answer. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It is only possible for us to get to heaven and be saved through faith in Christ, by the blood that he shed on the cross to pay for every sin of ours, even the sins of our greed and earthly mindedness. And it's only through faith in him that we can have that great goal of heaven. But that faith is impossible for men to do on their own. God himself has to create that in us. And how wonderful it is that he has. That through the waters of baptism and his holy word, he has caused you to now become a heavenly-minded individual. By causing you to grab on to Christ as your Savior and cherish and treasure the things that he has done for you. It takes heaven's own architect, God himself, to design, construct, and fashion a faith that belongs in heaven. What a blessing that he has worked that in you. Think about how fantastic heaven must be. Think of all the things that Jesus could have come down, that the Son of God could have come down to earth and become incarnate and suffered and died and gone to hell for so that you could get it. But none of that was worth it. But heaven, that was worth it. That was worth all of that so that you could someday live in the bliss with the angels. May God continue to work the impossible in our hearts and make it possible by his doing, and cause us to set our minds and our hearts on things above. Amen. Please rise. Today we have a special prayer request. The grandfather of Janine Lysis, David Lysis, passed away this past week. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child Janine and also the members of her family who now mourn the death of her grandfather. In these days of sadness, lift them up with the comfort which you alone can provide through your word. And once again, direct their hearts and ours toward the great reunion of your saints in glory. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.
Thank you.